This is Local View's last time in March, '09. Mexico's been creeping up as a high-profile news story for several weeks now, and for a welcome change, the stories are not directly about immigration. Instead, the general idea is to suggest that the government of Mexico is losing control to the illegal drug traffic. The basic fodder for these stories is that over 6,000 murders in the past year are attributed to the drug trade, and despite the deployment of 45,000 soldiers to engage them in some sort of combat, a network of drug cartels is going about their business methodically and boldly. The lurid picture is that these cartels move vast amounts of dope and money by paying off the authorities and killing anyone who doesn't cooperate. Various elected and appointed authorities in the U.S. have warned that travel in Mexico might be dangerous for gringos and hinted that Mexico might be characterized as a failed state, whatever that means. As usual, in news trends like this, a lot of reading between the lines is necessary. The first question, of course, has something changed? Is this another story about the economy? Moving dope out of Mexico into the U.S. has been big business for as long as any of us can remember, and bribing local law enforcement's the traditional gringo folklore about life in Mexico. So when the latest news is actually the same old story, the obvious answer to the question, what's new, is that the news coverage is new. The focus has shifted. The economy of Mexico is an integral part of the U.S. economy, and the drug trade is an integral part of the Mexican economy. So yes, this is another story about the economy. The U.S. must be adjusting its grip on the Mexican economy, and it's not just the drug trade. It's also NAFTA, immigration, tourism. None of these things can be understood separately from the others. Mexico isn't the only foreign country where the U.S. wages its war on drugs. Colombia comes to mind, of course. Although little is reported about it in the U.S. media, the U.S. military's been fighting a rather primitive ground war in Colombia for a decade, with known expenditures of about $6 billion, and by all accounts, the growing of coca and the shipment of cocaine into the U.S. has been rising steadily throughout that time. The U.S. also has made a show of trying to persuade farmers in Afghanistan to grow something other than opium. The results of that program are widely known. Then, of course, there's the war on drugs right here at home. That hasn't been working out too well either. The U.S. isn't the only place in the world where people use cocaine and opiates, but if the U.S. market for those things suddenly dried up, the world economy, underground and above, would be much different. As long as the U.S. is buying, the commerce involves the Mexican border. The great immigration controversy at the Mexican border exists because most people in Mexico are a lot poorer than most people in the U.S. The U.S. is so rich that its people can afford foreign travel and illegal drugs for recreation. Mexico is so poor that its economy is driven by supplying that recreation, one way or another. The simple solution to the border wars in both drugs and people is economic parity between the two countries. That's not in the best interests of the U.S., if only because people in the U.S. would have to become a lot poorer. So the U.S. government fans the flames of immigration hysteria and conveniently fails to make a dent in the drug traffic. That almost sounds like the government actually is protecting our standard of living by fostering an international black market in drugs. And on another level, that reasoning sounds preposterous, but imagine what might happen if countries like Mexico and Colombia weren't dependent on that black market. They might actually develop commerce and industry. If there is tacit cooperation between the U.S. economy and the international drug trade, then it can't exist without some knowing participation at a very high level. In other words, drug criminals would be influencing the U.S. government just as surely as they pay off the cops and assassinate their enemies in Mexico. And we're calling Mexico a failed state. The difference would be that in the U.S., the underground economy depends on keeping the masses comfortable. South of the border, it depends on keeping the masses poor. Maybe when Chamba returns from south of the border to rouse the rabble again, we won't have to engage in this sort of speculation on Local Views. Until then, this is Mark Stannert reminding you this commentary doesn't necessarily read between the lines for KVMR, its management staff, or contributors. Email mark at caloki.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Thank you.